Well, I appreciate your prayers tonight. Seems that we've had a chaotic experience the last couple of weeks. Pray the Lord will bless us tonight. Have some thoughts on my heart that I've kind of been mulling over for a while now. And pray the Lord will bless me to get those thoughts across to you all. Talking to somebody recently, and it kind of spurred these thoughts. I'd like to start in Numbers chapter 12. I guess we can start in verse 1. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. That's not necessarily a good thing right there. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and to Miriam, Come out ye three unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. And the Lord came down in the pillar of a cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? So it's obvious here that the Lord is displeased with the behavior of Aaron and Miriam. And he's reprimanding them for their comments and their mistreatment of Moses. And then in verse 9 it says, And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle. A separation occurred right there. And behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. Verse 14. I should say that Moses, after seeing what had taken place to Miriam, prayed for her and entreated the Lord for her sake. And this is what the Lord said. The Lord said unto Moses, If her father had but spit in her face, should she not be ashamed 7 days? Let her be shut out from the camp 7 days, and after that, let her be received in again. I think about this passage of scripture here, and it seems to me that the leprosy is tied very much to the sin of Miriam. And the Lord almost marks her with it in the sense to show that she had sinned against the Lord. And it says that she was shut out of the camp. She was unable to dwell among God's people in the condition that she was in. She was considered to be unclean. And so she was shut out of the camp. I don't know that it says it, but her ability to come back into the camp was for her to be healed, to return. And so leprosy is, in a sense, scripturally, a representation of sin. She sinned, and the Lord put a punishment upon her of leprosy. And I'm not going to sit here and say that every case of leprosy or any deadly disease is necessarily a result of that individual's sin. But scripturally, this is what we receive from the Word of God regarding leprosy. Miriam had sinned against God, and it caused her to be shut out of the camp. No longer able to dwell amongst God's people, as a reproach to her, as a punishment to her, as a sign to those looking on of the repercussions, if you will, of sin. So let's go to Leviticus chapter 13, where God gives a little bit of instruction as to how to deal with someone with leprosy. Verse 44, he is a leprous man, he is unclean. The priest shall pronounce him utterly unclean. His plague is in his head. And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent, and his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip, and shall cry, unclean, unclean, all the days wherein the plague shall be in him. He shall be defiled. He is unclean. He shall dwell alone. Without the camp shall his habitation be. I just want to get it clear in our minds, the result of leprosy, or if you will, the result of sin in our lives. It creates a separation for us. A separation not only from God, but a separation from his body, the church, that we are no longer able to dwell within the church of God because of our sin. We become essentially exiled, made to dwell alone, to bear our shame. The leprous man or woman, defiled and unclean, going about, think about their lives, going about shouting, unclean, 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 where nobody wants to be around you. Nobody wants to interact with you. They don't want to get too close to you, because you are essentially a detriment to them. It was believed in the time that leprosy was very contagious, easily spread. And so they had to be set apart. The same would be true of sin. I think of this scriptures that says about our communication, let not our communication be with the ungodly, or something to that effect. Because it's going to taint us. It's going to have its effect on us. So many times we think that we're going to be the one that affects someone else. And we fail to think that there's the potential that they would infect us. Let's go to 2 Kings. Very, very common passage, but we're going to read it again. Naaman the leper. Verse 1, now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, Now, when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. Naaman was a leper. He had so many successes in his life, so many triumphs, so much of what he had done in his life. He was notorious, if you will, or he had notoriety in his life. But yet he had this thing, this leprosy, shutting him out, essentially, from those around him. No doubt he had to live very carefully in his life. And I imagine him, I mean, it talks about what he had brought with him. And I didn't prepare what the amounts these were, but 10 talents of silver, that's a fortune. In our day and age, 10 talents of silver, the equivalence is millions of dollars. He brought a fortune to be cleansed of his leprosy. I think that you can essentially say that he was willing to give everything that he had just to be clean. Just to no longer have to deal with the reproach of this disease that was upon him. And he comes to the prophet. Well, essentially he came to the king, and the king was so concerned because who am I that I should heal someone of their leprosy? It wasn't the king that was to heal him, and it wasn't the prophet that was to heal him. But it was the Lord. So Naaman goes to the prophet, and the prophet comes, sends a servant out to him and tells him, dip 7 times in the Jordan and you'll be clean. Naaman balks at that and thinks to himself, what is Jordan? Why should I dip in Jordan? Aren't the rivers of Samaria so much better, or Syria so much better? Why not dip in one of them? But yet his servant says, Master, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? Why not? When he simply says to dip in the Jordan, why not just dip? And so Naaman goes and he does what the prophet has said. And he dips in the Jordan 7 times. Not 2 times, not 3 times, not 6 times, but 7 times, as the prophet had said. And he came forth clean. I can't help but to think that there's something very significant about that. My mind goes back to John the Baptist, baptizing in the Jordan River those who would come and seek deliverance, seek freedom, seek cleansing by the power of God, the washing of their sins. And here we have an example of that. Though it be in the sense of leprosy, I believe the same is true in the New Testament, where leprosy would be a form of sin. And here he is washing in the Jordan River to be cleansed essentially from sin. And washed and made new. Coming forth like a babe. Born again. New life being given unto him. And his declaration afterwards is, I know the Lord is God. And may the Lord pardon me in this thing. But he came away from that knowing the Lord God. He sought cleansing. And he found it. And so I asked myself, what cleansed Naaman? What was it that caused him to be clean? Was it the fact that he brought so much wealth with him? Was it the fact that he had, you know, so many talents of silver and thousands of pieces of gold? All the garments that he brought, was that what it was? Was it the fact that he made a great feats in his life, or was super successful in his achievements in battle? Was it because he was notorious in his life? Was it even because he came to the prophet? He could have went away from the prophet unclean still. And he very nearly did. Because he about refused to do what the prophet had said to do. By the word of the Lord. So in my view, his cleansing came by faith in the word of God. Go down to the River Jordan and dip yourself 7 times. And you will come out clean. Purified and clean. Let's go to Leviticus 14. Again, we're going to start in verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, this shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priests, and the priests shall go forth out of the camp, and the priests shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper, then shall the priest command to take for him, that is to be cleansed, 2 birds, alive and clean, and cedar wood and scarlet and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it, and the cedar wood and the scarlet and the hyssop, and shall dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy 7 times, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose into the open field. I love that. You have 2 birds. One is sacrificed and killed, essentially. And the blood of that bird is sprinkled upon the other bird. And that bird is allowed to go free. And this is what is done in representation to one who is healed of leprosy. That he is no longer dead. But he's alive and he's clean. And that life that he has is essentially like a new life. That bird that's being set free is almost like a freedom of new life. A new existence, a new beginning, a new start that God is offering to you and to me. This leprosy that is sin, that's setting us apart, that's causing a separation between us and God and from us and the people of God, can be cleansed. We can be made white as snow, purified like a newborn babe. We talk about being born again. A newborn in Christ. Having a new life and a new experience in ourselves. To be washed and clean. I was thinking about Naaman and how much he must have longed to be clean. If I could just be clean. If I could just be free of this disease that's killing me. That's setting me apart. That's destroying my life. That's taking me apart piece by piece. If I could just be free of it. Cleansed and washed. And given the opportunity to start over. A new beginning, a new start. Do you know that that's really what God is offering us? It's not holding that old man over us. The old man is dead and put to death in baptism. And a new life is brought forth. A new creation in Christ Jesus. An opportunity to start over, to start fresh, to be completely cleaned. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. This is just not something that God says. But it's something that He follows through with and that He does. If we're really sick and tired of being tired and being burdened down and being loaded down with the sins and the cares of this life that are destroying us and weighing us down and keeping our peace, we could be cleansed. We could be free of that. All we have to do is but come before the Lord and ask Him. But you know, we can't just come before God, just like Naaman couldn't just come before the prophet and hear what the prophet had said and then not necessarily agree with what the prophet said, or I got a little better idea, or I have other thoughts or other plans and I got a better way. No. You do that and you walk away just as filthy as you were when you came. But when you're able to come before God and to present yourself to Him, Naaman showed that he was ready to give anything. Anything that I possess, anything that I have, I'll give it all just to be clean. What is our testament? What will we say? Are we willing to give anything? No matter what it costs, Lord, I just need to have the peace and joy in my heart. I just need to know that I'm free. I just need to know that I'm clean. That I can dwell in Your presence. That I can have a place in eternity with You. I just need to know that. I'm willing to do anything. I'm willing to abide by anything that you would say or command. I'd give You all that I have just to have that. And it was a reality in Naaman because he knew the pressure of what he was carrying. And I wonder sometimes if the people of this life and the world realize the load that they're carrying. And understand what effects it's having on them. And whether or not they really understand what freedom from that is about. And what it's doing to them spiritually is destroying them. But we can be free. They can be free. They can be cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Washed and made white as snow, being set free to live once again a new creation in Christ. Matthew 7 and 21. Matthew 7 and 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Be separate from me, you leprous individual, basically. Sin has separated us from God, and we need a renewal, a restoration. Jesus Christ provided that restoration and that redemption by the shedding of his blood. But I think of so many that think that they're going to be able to enter in, knowing that they're leprous, knowing that they're cankered by the sins of this world. But the Word of God says that they're going to be separate. They're going to be separated and unable to enter in. It doesn't matter that they say, Lord, Lord. Why do you call me Lord and do not the things that I say? What matters is whether or not we've been cleansed and purified and freed from our sin and washed and made new. And it's not to be made new to just go on out and defile yourself again. God's plan is much more victorious than that. His plan offers much more power than that. God's ability is much better than that. I imagine those ones that are going before, seeking to enter in, and hearing this statement, Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you. I imagine what they would give at that moment just to be able to enter in. I was thinking of Romans chapter 7 where it says, Who shall deliver me of the body of this death? Where Paul is referring to the one that is bound to his flesh. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Like I said, I was talking to somebody recently and their testimony was that they just wished that they could be clean and know they're clean. And they would do anything just to have peace and joy in their hearts. To know that they're right with God. And that they're ready to meet God. And I look back on my own experience and I remember a time when I felt that way. Where my heart was crying out to God and willing and prepared to do anything to receive forgiveness, anything to be different, to be new, to be washed, to be free. No hindrances, no encumbrances. Lord, I'm all yours. I'm laid down before you. Do you know that that's really the heart that we have to have? If we want to receive what it is that we're talking about here, we have to have a heart of surrender before God. That we're essentially willing to receive and to hear whatever thus saith the Lord has to say. That we would be willing to go and to dip into that dirty Jordan River seven times because God had said. And the promise is that you'll be clean once you do that. The Lord tells us that if we will believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we can be saved. If we allow the blood of Christ to be shed upon us or to be the sacrifice for our sins, we can be saved, we can be delivered, we can be made clean and washed. He also says that if we will ask Him, that He'll give us the Holy Spirit, who will lead us and guide us into all truth and sanctify us and purify us into a holy people. Why wouldn't anybody want that? Why wouldn't anybody want to be free and made clean and to be washed and made new? Not just a fictitious word of "you're new," but yet they're exactly the same they were, but a real new. A real restoration. It's not me taking an old tattered shirt and coming and saying, "This is a new shirt now." And you put it on and it's still tattered. That's not what God is offering to us. He's taking that tattered shirt and He's making it new. And clothing us with robes of righteousness. Oh, would the Lord help us to cry out to Him and have it within our hearts that we just need to be free and cleansed. Let's go to Matthew chapter 8. Verse 1. When He was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed Him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped Him, saying, "Lord, if Thou wilt, Thou canst make me clean." I think of this man. I don't know how long he's been a leper. I can only imagine what it's like to be one, especially in this day and time. That nobody really wanted to have anything to do with them. So much so that they were set outside the camp and dwelt among themselves. But he comes to Jesus. He has a faith in Jesus, obviously, because he comes to Him and he says, "Lord, I know that You can make me clean, if You will. I know that if You want to, you can clean this leprosy off of me." Do you know in your heart that if you come before God with Jesus Christ as your sacrifice, that you can walk away clean from that? Do you know that? Do you know it in your heart? That if you present yourself to God, acknowledge Him as your Savior, repent of your sins, fall down in repentant heart before God, acknowledging your unrighteousness, your need for cleansing. "Lord, I'm a leper and I need to be cleansed. I am unclean. I am defiled. I have no right to be in Your presence. Cleanse me, Lord." Do you believe that He can do it? Do you believe that God can forgive you for your sin? I think there are some who wonder about that. There are some that maybe think, "You know, I've done too much. My sin is too great. I've been unbearable." But I thank God that there are examples of ones in the Scriptures that were made free and were made clean, who I would say were much worse than any of you. And God proving as an example, using them as an example of the deliverance that could be had by us. Do you believe that He can do it? He said, I believe, Lord. I believe that if you want to, you can make me clean. And so if we can get that far and say, Lord, I know that if you want to do it, you can make me clean and free from my sin. You can deliver me and make me new. I believe that you can do it. I believe that your ability to do it is right there. I believe that you've made all the preparations to make it possible. I believe that. If you will. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him. Jesus did not just speak it, which he very well could have. And I mean, the one man came to Jesus and said, I don't need you to come to my house. Just say the word and I know my servant can be healed. He could have said the word and this man could have been clean. But you know that Jesus went a step further and touched the man? A man that was leprous, diseased, that nobody wanted to be around, that needed to be out of the camp and dwelling by himself. You don't need to be by any of us. Be out there. You are unclean. But yet Jesus reaches out and touches this man. A sign of his love, his compassion, his willingness, and his desire to touch you in your life. He's willing to reach out and touch you. And he says, I will. Be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. You know, you might struggle and wonder whether or not God is willing to heal whatever ailments you might have in your body. But I'm telling you right now that there is no reason that He would not want to heal you and to cleanse you from your sin. That is why He came. That was His purpose. That was His mission. To cleanse you from your sin. And so when you come before Him in a leprous condition, Lord, I am unclean. I need deliverance. I need freedom. I need to be cleansed from my unrighteousness that I might take on a new life and begin a new person. I need that, Lord. I just need to be clean. I just need to be delivered. The allures of life have just pale in comparison to what God offers. And I see it, Lord. I see the things that I'm chasing after, the things of life, they're empty and void. They aren't fulfilling. They're not offering me what it is that I desire. I have an emptiness within me that I need to be filled. And I don't know what I need to fill it. But Lord, I present myself to You. I present my heart to You. My life to You. Everything that I have. 10 talents of silver. Thousands of pieces of gold. All the clothing in my closet. If You'll just but cleanse me, Lord. And purify me. And give me a new life. And Jesus says, I will. The Lord wants to cleanse you tonight. And He wants to make you free. He wants to purify you. And give you assurance that you are part of His family. He wants you to dwell in the camp and to be amongst His people. And He's prepared and willing to offer you that. That cleansing, that newness of life. It's available. It's available right now. And He's able to keep you as you stay surrendered unto Him and you continue with that heart of, Lord, lead me and guide me. Show me the path that You'd have me to take. Teach me my way. And you stay on that cross, dead to yourself, but alive to Christ. And you will have success if you just lay it out on the altar before God. He says He will. And I believe His word. So if you're tired and you're weighed down by life, and maybe you can stand and say within your heart that I know I'm leprous and I want to be clean. I just want to know that I'm clean. It's available to you tonight. I pray the Lord will help us all to be washed in the blood.